Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Mufti Saab, we welcome you to this program. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you doing this morning?
Wa alaikum assalam, Mulana. Alhamdulillah, everything is fine. The weather is nice and windy, and a nice summer day. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. I've seen, I just got this book in front of me, and you know, we like to look at these books not for their perspective or to promote their agenda, but to use it as a source against them. So I've just seen, I opened to this book, it says on this day. So on this day, it says on the 15th of April, 1986. So there it is mentioned, the US, they sent down a bomb on Gaddafi's his presidential palace. There were 100 people in there, and it attacked his 15-month-old adopted daughter. Her name was Hannah. So this is the background, and then you can tell us, Mufti Saab, more about just a briefing, and then we'll move forward. Sheikh Anwar Olaki, his daughter as well was killed, I think was 8 to 10 years, and they sent a drone upon her, and this was supposedly in the US, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, it was a US drone, and he was a US citizen. Okay, who was killed without any trial or any due process, okay, which is the American way. Claim someone as guilty and then be the judge and the executioner at the same time. That's the American way. And they allegedly did the same with Osama bin Laden. They claimed that he did the World Trade Center, and then they claimed that they killed him, but we know that they didn't. But that's the way they operate. Yeah. Again, they bombed Gaddafi's place, yes, and killed his adopted daughter, just like the Jews are doing now. Mm. Okay, so this is, you know, what the Jews are doing, the genocide in Gaza is the same genocide that America did to the Native Americans, you know, for a couple of hundred years. So now that there's none left. Mm.
There is also, I'd like to mention, there's few, quite some interesting events which we can use against these people. Soccer is a cursed sport, and people may say this and that, but it's open now. They support LGBTQ. Most of these main soccer teams support LGBTQ. So when you're ready to boycott on so many issues, here on your team, you're ready to compromise and say, I'll be part and parcel. And there's a whole long, we've spoken about it much, that people vividly, clearly, they say that we support the Red Devils. So you'll be raised with them. But yeah, there's an interesting incident. So I was born in 1989, on this particular day, 15th of April. So I wasn't born on the 15th, but yeah, 1989, the year, 15th of April, 95 people were crushed to death and 200 injured in Britain's worst sports disaster. And this was at Hillsborough Stadium, Sheffield. And this was a FA Cup semi-finalist. So, crushed to death. And this tragedy occurred when a gate was opened to ease a crush of around 4,000 Liverpool supporters who arrived shortly before the kickoff and were trying to get into the ground. So, this was, they'll call it a tragedy. We say, when you attend these things, then, of course, with alcohol being thrown all around and all of this. Another incident that we'll share, McDonald's, 1955. Their first McDonald's hamburger store opened, and that was in California, 15th of April, 1955.
And San Diego, I believe?
It says San Bernardino.
San Bernardino, okay. Yeah.
And interestingly, just to see yesterday, because we recognize this feminist movement, even with our Muslim communities, we have to be very wary. And you've mentioned to us how many times how this feminist movement is now out, it's releasing, it's and exposing itself in the Muslim woman of Pakistan. And women don't want to cook, they're not interested in all of these things, they just want to go to restaurants and all of this, yeah. So interestingly, a feminist writer and philosopher, her name was Simone de Beauvoir. Simone de Beauvoir. And her feminist legacy in 1986, this was the date. And that was the 14th of April. Today's the 15th, so we go one day back to the year 1986. She was 78, and she was suffering from blood circulation problems. And this was for she and her, this says here, her lover, John Paul Sartre, who died 6 years ago.
Significant other.
Yeah. So this year she wrote certain books. It's the second gender. It's SEX, but I'll say gender, yeah. In 1949.
Okay.
So this is the end of such people. She had circulation, blood circulation problems. And we say that for a Muslim...
Is she American?
It says here that... let's just check if it does say if she's American. It says Paris. She died in the Paris hospital.
She's French. Probably French.
Yeah. Yeah, it does say a lot about France. So... For Muslim, and they have a sickness, that's glad tidings for them. For non-Muslims, that is a direct punishment for them. Mufti Saab, just coming to this now, I see a lot of Pakistanis making the headlines quite a bit often now.
What to do?
I've seen.
We don't care what you say about us, as long as you spell our name right in the newspaper. Okay, that's the philosophy here. Okay, so, right or wrong, you know, true or false, but just spell our name right and give us good mention and some good photographs in the newspapers all over the world, okay. And we're happy.
Yes.
Tony Gars.
Yesterday, you told us about KFC. And you mentioned about Turkey, Turkey, they say now you must call it Turkey. However, how many stores they close down and the rest boycotts and the rest. Now we see in Pakistan, the people are really coming out vandalizing the stores. And while people were sitting there, this person came in with some bat, perhaps a baseball bat, and started knocking the counters and forcing everyone to run out. Mufti Saab, can you tell us?
Right. It happened in Rawalpindi, I believe, and that's where the army is, all right? And so this cannot go on without the army's permission, all right? It happened also in Karachi, okay? And the police stopped it before it really got bad, people attacking KFC. That's what Mufti Taki talked about last week. That just before he gave the fatwa about the Farsi eyeing for jihad, they talked about not attacking these businesses, okay, these foreign businesses and what have you. It has nothing to do with Islam, okay. So no one supports that, okay. No person supports what they're doing, okay. The KFC is. I believe owned by the franchise. I think it's owned by Pakistanis, but even if it's not, it's still that person's risk. Okay, and everybody is supposed to it will receive their risk, whether you like it or not. Okay, but we have different job to do as far as getting our governments to do some military action against Gaza.
Yes.
It's not our job to try to destroy someone else's risk, okay? Because that risk will reach that person no matter what we do, okay? So, and he has a right to it. Allah has promised risk to everyone, every living being. And so leave it alone, okay? Whether it's halal or haram, it doesn't matter. Leave that alone, and our business at hand should be putting pressure on our government to have a military solution for Gaza.
Yes. And I see this has become like something that is common now. Between, I don't know if there's so much of frustration that we do not know where to direct it. And this emotional outblow is being translated into attacking our Muslimin. And I've seen in, and I've sent, you'll tell us more about this, also in Pakistan, Iran and this was in the border close to Balochistan, Pakistan's Balochistan, and on that particular, just not so far, I believe it's about 250, 280 miles or kilometers away, then this particular incident took place where 8 Pakistanis were killed. So what was the reason for this? And who was, I know Iran was definitely behind this, and we know Iran has a history of waiting to ambush the enemy whilst waiting to ambush their enemy, which is us Muslims. As we're going forward, they come and stab you at the back. So what was this?
I'm not sure about that. But definitely we know that the Balochistan wants to move away from Pakistan. It's never felt it's got its fair share of federal aid, okay, from the budget. Their area has not gotten the proper representation. You've had many prime ministers and presidents have come from Punjab and have come from Sindh, all right, but very, very few have come from Balochistan. It's like they're like second class citizens here in Pakistan. And yes, they're very close to Iran, and there are Shias there in Balochistan. And when Muharram comes, there's always problems like that. But with the Sunnis and the Shias in Balochistan. So, not sure, okay, exactly, but yeah, it's consistent with the past history in Balochistan.
Just to be clear, I said 250, but it's actually 230 kilometers, and this is it. The attack took place in Mehristan. Mehristan is located roughly 230 kilometers from the Pakistan border, which is equivalent to 142 miles, where this whole thing occurred. So there we've spoken about this. Now, coming to this particular issue, yesterday we mentioned much about Donald Trump, and previously last week as well, Donald Trump and his tariffs. So I recall clearly you did tell me about the tariff hikes and all of this here, and we asked you the question as well, what products do the U.S. make? Now, Trump, I don't want to take credit or whatever, but it seems to be that maybe, inshallah, we hope so, he's listening to our podcast. So he says, now he's come out saying today that he's presented a justification for these tariff hikes, and he said his products need to be made in the USA in case the country goes to war. Amongst what he said also, and you had told us previously, they actually call it drugs. So yeah, he says we're going to have our drugs made in the United States. What drugs is this, Mufti? Because we understand drugs to be like all of your marijuana, dacha, and hemp, they call it now, sophisticated names. So the elderly people, they say, no, we're not smoking dacha.
Anything that you buy from a pharmacy is drug. Okay, cough medicine, Tylenol, these types of things. That's what he means by drugs. But here's a twist to that. Didn't he hire, didn't he select Robert Kennedy Jr.? To check into the medical, community because of the corona debacle, okay, and all how the vaccines didn't work and what have you, and Robert F. Kennedy has already checked some things and seen that the medical association has done a lot of wrong things, okay? They've approved drugs that should not be approved and what have you. So that's a joke, all right? That's a joke. The medical community is one of the most corrupt areas in America, okay? Look at Fauci, okay? Yeah. He was the leading doctor, right, who was trying to guide us out of the COVID thing.
Yes.
Yeah, you see, so, and he got a pardon, all right? And before he even got convicted or sentenced or anything, they already, Joe Genocide gave him a pardon already. So this is the area that you want to you know, build it up. Okay, you want to have more influence? All right. So we know it's not going to happen. They talked about, Trump talked about having iPhones made in America. Okay, and the leading financial people said it would cost 25% more to make it in America than it's being made in China. So do you think Apple is going to do that?
Interesting, yeah.
Okay. And it's not just Apple, it'd be the other companies. Nike doesn't have a single factory in America. Okay, they're in Haiti, they're in Bangladesh, okay, they're in Pakistan and places like this where they can pay someone $1 a day, you know, to make the shoe and then sell it for $200-$300. Okay, if they do that back in America, all right, the minimum wage I think is like $10 an hour or maybe more. Okay, so how are these American companies going to do that? Even when you put tariffs on China and other places, still because the workers in America demand a higher salary, medical insurance, retirement, okay, they have unions, okay, to fight for, you know, more benefits, and that's not the case when they open up a factory in Haiti, for example, or even in Mexico. Many car dealers in America, they just shifted just below the border, and they make the cars in Mexico, and it's much cheaper. The biggest expense is what? Labor.
Yes. And
okay. And they have minimum wage in America.
That's why I've heard from many people that, we're quite spoiled, I'll say, alhamdulillah, for that. In the sense where you've got domestics there. When I speak to my family who is not in Canada, not in America, but who Trump wants to make part of America, they say that, no, it's to get a worker, it's you rather get a doctor. If you're paying, like, that's the cost of it. So, if this up, everything okay there by you? Is everything okay by you?
Yeah. No, that's outside. Some trucks. No problem.
We just have to check.
But this is another thing with America and the World Bank and the IMF. They have to keep foreign countries, their money, they keep it down. Okay, so that America can come to these countries, okay? And again, the labor is the highest expense that an employer has, okay? So the salary along with the fringe benefits, okay, like medical, you have medical insurance, life insurance, okay? You have to pay, the employer has to pay all these things out, okay? But if he has that company in Bangladesh, for example, where the money is much, weaker. So it's not going to happen. Even if you raise the tariffs on these other countries, it'll still equal out. It'll still be cheaper for American companies to be outside of America. It seems like the people in the stock market understand that. They don't like these tariffs.
Yes. But where do you draw the line? Like, for example, China. They say, for example, the purchases from the U.S. is quite high. So it suits them well. So where do they draw the line and say, okay, if it's 145%, I'm not sure what did Trump lift it up to now, but it's going crazy. So where do they say, okay, enough is enough now. We're not going to deal with you. And the tariffs is just way too impossible. Of course, that would be...
about that. But China's upset about the 100%, and I think they just want to negotiate, you know. But it doesn't matter if they want to go to war, I think China's ready to go to war. until they get the number that they want.
That would be something that would be ideal for now, because just to
get let them both fight.
Yeah.
Let them both fight.
So that the gays can be turned away from Gaza.
Yeah, I mean, what do they have to fight over? This dunya. Okay? And one wants more dunya than the other. Okay, you can have it. Yes. But our concern should be with the ummah. Hmm. Okay? We should be protecting our people.
Yes. And as you said this now, we come to the last incident which you want to discuss. Saudi Arabia, and we know just a few months ago, MBS made it his desire and put it all out that he wants his Trump, beloved Trump, to come to his country first, which he claims his country.
Yes.
Not his, but he claims it. So Trump accepted, and of course there must have been some prices that had to be honored. So this will take place, and amongst those meetings that are taking place there, we've seen that a lot is to deal with going more vigorously into dealings with one another.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they want to be, Saudi wants to get involved with like atomic energy and nuclear energy.
Hmm.
Okay, and so I think if it looks like if America will agree to give them, the technology and what have you, the wherewithal to go nuclear, okay, then Saudi's going to have to agree to continue to give oil at the price that America wants.
Hmm. Mufti,
and a lot of best.
Yeah. What's the whole thing with the nuclear thing? Do not these countries see the true plot of the U.S.? And as soon as the U.S. says, no, we're going to put sanctions and we're going to put major consequences if you start this nuclear program, such as Iran and the rest. So what's the whole thing there?
Well, if America would agree to give them the nuclear technology, then the Saudi is going to have to agree to recognize Israel. And, the Abraham, was it the Abraham Accords or whatever they call that thing?
Yeah.
They're going to have to fully back that. Okay. All right, we'll let you go nuclear, but you got to promise you will never try to nuke Israel.
Hmm.
So, all right?
Hmm.
And of course, MBS would be, he'd be willing to do that.
So what benefit would it be for him?
Well, allegedly, Iran is the enemy for Saudi, not Israel.
Yes, that's
okay. And Iran is trying to they're trying to get nuclear if they're not already. Okay, so Saudi wants to be on an even playing field with Iran.
Hmm.
So if America give it to them, give them the knowledge and the help, they'll have to promise we'll never bomb Tel Aviv.
Hmm. And that's what's so confusing, because you think like, why must we even bother about what the U.S. says or wants? If you want to go nuclear, go nuclear. Why must you bother what they're going to say and the rest? That shows there is some shoulder bending there.
Pakistan never asked permission, right?
Yes.
To go nuclear.
Mm.
And they have problems with America.
Mm.
All right? America threatens that, if you guys, Imran Khan, when he was kicked out of office, and they were worried that Taliban would take over the nukes in Pakistan. And when allegedly Iran got some knowledge about how to make the nukes from Pakistan, that gave Pakistan a lot of grief from America.
Hmm.
Okay, so MBS will try to get it with Americans' ijazah.
Hmm.
Okay. And so then there won't be any pushback then. Mm. All right. Yeah, we can have it. Okay, with no problem. They're not going to send anybody here to inspect us or anything like that, as long as we promise we're not going to hurt Israel. All right. I don't believe they're going to ask them, listen, we'll give you this information, but you have to promise you won't attack us. I don't think America's going to say that. I think they'll just say, as long as you don't attack Israel, we'll let you do this. And you agree to, you know, open up your borders to Israel and shake hands with them and recognize them and kiss up to them like we kiss up to them, America, like we kiss up to Israel. You do the same and we'll let you have the nuclear information.
Okay.
This is my opinion. Okay.
Yes. And inshallah, we'll see. Over time, of course, there's full 100% news, good news for the Muslimin, for the Mu'minin, and that is the coming of Imam Mahdi or Sayyiduna Mahdi radiallahu anhu, and thereafter Sayyiduna Isa alayhi salam. So there is something that is to look forward to, and we just have to make dua that things work out our way and the Ummah just responds the correct way wherever we are in the world to support our Muslimin. In terms of we ourselves, as we stress always, to change our own lives, and then inshallah we can focus on then being a benefit to the Ummah as well.
Like you're saying, who's coming? All right, the Mahdi, okay, is coming. So we also have to prepare for it. Mm. Okay, in addition to what you said, we have to prepare for it. What are you doing to prepare for it? We know he's coming. It looks like it's very close. But what are you doing to prepare for it? Mm. That's what we have to ask ourselves.
Mm. And I just have 2 minutes left. So often we think this year when Dajjal comes, then due to the description that is given, we'll be able to identify clearly. But there is a twist to this thought, because if you see, as a Muslim, when they are currently, there's no Dajjal, right? There's a visible Dajjal you can't find. But so here, when things are thrown at us, Abrahamic Accord, clearly, which Muslim can deny unless you got some hidden agenda. So when these challenges are thrown at us and you still blatantly follow those whom are human beings with two eyes and the rest, then what's so strange when the Dajjal comes with strange features and you will follow him totally without any asking of questions? So that just fits in with what we said, that it's based on Iman. Iman will enable us to stay away.
Yeah, I mean, well, everybody knows the hadith, you know, that the Dajjal will come and tell the person that, listen, I'm God, na'udhubillah, all right, and to prove it, you know, I'll bring your dead parents back to life. Mm. Okay. So some people will fall for it, and other people will say no. Mm. Like the one who said, yeah, if you do that, then I know you're Dajjal. Okay, so I'm running away from you. But yeah, how many of us have that iman? And again, you know, Dajjal will have a jannat and a jahannam, all right? And the thing that looks like jannat will be really jahannam, all right? And many people will jump into what they think is jannat, but they'll burn to death, okay? Because the iman is weak. Mm. It takes iman to jump into something that looks like fire. Okay, but the hadiths are there. The hadiths in Bukhari and, you know, our teachers have told us. But when push comes to shove, let's see what happens. Again, what are we doing to prepare for it? Mm. In order to survive, we have to have strong iman. What are we doing to improve our iman? Mm. When you're weak physically, you go to the gym, you exercise. I have to exercise. I got to pump iron. I got to jog more. When your iman is weak, we just say, I'm weak. I'm zaif. Mm. What can I do? Mm. Yeah? Okay.
Mufti Sahib, jazakumullah khairan for these strong messages. Make dua for us as well. We'll meet you tomorrow, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum.
Inshallah. Wa alaikum assalam.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah.